Prologue. Manchester, England, March 1906. Late for work, Reginald Orrin raced across the street, the cobblestones slick from the night's rain. Dodging a horse and carriage, he jumped over a puddle, then ran toward a brick building that took up half a city block. He shrugged out of his overcoat, hung it on a hook just inside the door, and quietly entered a large workroom filled with a half-dozen young men sitting at their desks, their attention focused on the office on the far side of the room. No one noticed that Reginald was late, and he took his seat, glancing toward the office's open door, where Charles Rolls and Henry Royce, both dressed in dark suits, were talking to a policeman. "That looks ominous," Reginald said, glancing over at his cousin Jonathan Peyton, who sat at the desk next to his. "What did I miss?" "It's gone." "What's gone?" "The 4050 prototype." "When?" "Last night. They went there this morning to finish up the coachwork, and it was gone." Reginald leaned back in his chair as he looked around the room, then focused on the men in the office, imagining what this would do to the company. Rolls-Royce Limited had put all their money and that of their investors into this improved six-cylinder engine. Every last penny had gone into the design of that, as well as a chassis meant to withstand the harsh country roads. When the world seemed to laugh at them, saying it couldn't be done, they'd persevered. And now, when they were on the verge of accomplishing the impossible... Jonathan leaned toward him, lowering his voice. "Was Elizabeth pleased?" "Pleased?" he said, unable to draw his gaze from the office. Reginald's wife, Elizabeth, had taken their newborn son to visit her mother, and for the life of him, he couldn't figure out why Jonathan would bring her up at a time like this. "About what?" "About the pianoforte." A shame he couldn't hear what they were discussing in there, and he finally turned toward his cousin, belatedly recalling last night's conversation when he'd solicited Jonathan's assistance. "Undoubtedly she will be. Meant to thank you for helping my friends and me move it, but you disappeared. 1 minute you were next to me, the next you were gone. Well, I guess I had a bit much. Not sure what happened." He was quiet a moment, then whispered, "You won't mention that to my father, will you?" "Of course not." Jonathan's father, Viscount Wellswick, had raised both boys after Reginald's parents died. Though Reginald always suspected he'd have ended up in an orphanage if not for the intervention of Jonathan's mother. Ironic, considering that she was the reason their fathers had been the bitterest of enemies. Reginald's father had been in love with her, but her fortune was needed to restore the viscountcy, so she was wedded to Jonathan's father instead. He often wondered if she regretted the marriage. Her husband, the Viscount, was frugal beyond belief, as well as a strict disciplinarian. He certainly wouldn't have approved of either of them spending a night at one of the local taverns, drinking ale with the neighborhood residents. The Viscount was all about propriety. How it would look to his friends if his son and nephew stepped out of line. Appearances were everything, which was why Reginald and Jonathan were expected to oversee the running of the orphanage that bore the Viscount's name. Jonathan, in line to be the next Viscount and heir to the Peyton estate, was expected to be there 6 days a week, usually stopping in after work. In Reginald's mind, that was the one advantage of being the poor relation living under his uncle's roof. He was only expected to volunteer his time at the orphanage twice a week. Of course, that was in addition to the 6 days a week both men spent working for Rolls-Royce. There were no free rides in the Peyton home, the old man thinking that working at a job each day built character. Had the Viscount discovered Reginald had led Peyton astray, he'd likely toss Reginald, his wife, and their son out on the street. "Not to worry," Reginald said, turning his attention back to the office. "Your secret of drunken debauchery is safe with me." Reginald watched the men talking in the office, the faces of the two owners, Rolls and Royce, looking drawn, the loss weighing on them. The stolen car, named the Grey Ghost for the color of the body and the quietness of the 4050 engine, had been kept a secret from all but their investors, for fear that someone might try to steal their ideas. Apparently.